Welcome to episode 155 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. So, I will now run the random number generator. The random number generator has returned the coordinates of 14 hours, 3 minutes, 12.6 seconds for ascension, and plus 54 degrees, 20 minutes, 56 seconds declination. This episode's coordinates have hit Messier 101, also called M101 or the Pinwheel Galaxy, or NGC 5457, but no one calls it Henry. M101 is an especially spectacular grand design spiral galaxy with a rather complex yet well-defined spiral structure radiating from its small central bulge, including one spiral arm with lots of gaseous star-forming nebulae that seems to straighten as it extends outwards from the galaxy. It's also one of the largest face-on spiral galaxies in the Earth's sky in terms of apparent size. It's close to the size of the Moon in terms of diameter. At a distance of 22.7 million light-years, or 6.95 megaparsecs, in the constellation Ursa Major, it's possible to observe and study the stellar and gaseous structures within the galaxy on very fine scales. And it's even possible to identify individual bright stars within the galaxy. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, the Messier catalog was originally created by 18th century French astronomer and comet hunter Charles Messier to keep track of fuzzy things in the sky that were not comets. M101 was a series of objects in the catalog that was not discovered by Charles Messier himself, but by his junior associate Pierre Michan. Michan discovered M101 on March 27, 1781, and soon after this, Messier compiled a final version of his catalog. The list was originally going to include just 100 objects that Messier himself had all personally observed and verified, but he decided to include Messier 101, 102, and 103 without checking them first. This turned out to be a mistake because M102, which was also discovered by Michan, may have been a duplicate observation of M101, and a letter from Pierre Michan was later found even indicating that M102 was an accidental duplicate of M101. Despite this, a few people think that M102 is actually a different galaxy that is now referred to as NGC 5866, and that Pierre Michan is actually mistaken about being mistaken. So, having discussed the rather complicated history of the discovery of Messier 101, let's dive into what makes this object scientifically interesting. A lot of people, including me, have worked with M101 because it is a face-on spiral galaxy that is both relatively nearby and relatively large in terms of apparent size. One of the popular things that people like to do in this galaxy is measure the variations in the relative abundances of various elements within the galaxy, with a particular emphasis on the ratio of oxygen to hydrogen. The variations among the abundances of various elements in general is related to how those elements are created within stars and then expelled into the interstellar medium when the stars die. The oxygen to hydrogen ratio specifically is a very popular ratio to study because it gives an indication of the ratio of all heavier elements to hydrogen within galaxies. Also, astronomers like measuring this ratio because it's really easy to detect oxygen and hydrogen in space using spectroscopy. Anyway, it takes time for stars to die and eject oxygen and other heavy elements into the galaxy's interstellar mediums. So places with more of these heavy elements, like the center of M101 and the centers of other spiral galaxies, most likely formed before places with fewer heavy elements, like the outer parts of M101 and the outer parts of other galaxies. However, this is not the only type of research done with M101. I easily found various papers within the scientific literature using M101 to study things like magnetic fields, novae, supernovae, X-ray emission from diffuse gas, X-ray emission from unusual binary star systems, interstellar dust, infrared emission from interstellar molecules called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, molecular gas, and the relation of molecular gas to the formation of stars. This is not a comprehensive list, so please don't send me hate mail if I left out something you yourself have studied in M101. I myself have published a couple of papers that have included M101 in the analysis. The most notable result was in the paper published in 2015, where I demonstrated that M101 is one of a few spiral galaxies where it's possible to identify the presence of a substantial amount of interstellar dust heated by the general population of stars within the galaxy, including the old red giants and supergiants. Some people's expectations have been that most interstellar dust in galaxies is heated primarily by the hot blue stars with short lifespans found within the regions where stars are forming. So finding dust not heated by those hot blue stars may seem a little unusual to some people. And I have had at least one person at a conference tell me, in effect, that my results defied everything we understood about interstellar dust within galaxies. On the other hand, other people have told me that they have expected this type of result since the 1980s and that my results were completely boring, despite the number of citations I get. Go figure. Aside from the galaxy itself, people are also interested in M101 because it is at the center of a group of galaxies called the M101 group. In a 2023 paper, Valentina Karashenkseva, listed as having a Ukrainian affiliation, Igor Karashenksev, listed as having a Russian affiliation, and two other people, also listed with Russian affiliations, counted a total of 25 galaxies within the group, including M101 itself. But most of the other galaxies are much smaller than M101, and except for a faint and loosely wound spiral galaxy named NGC 5585, all of the other galaxies are irregular or spheroidal in shape. However, among these galaxies, NGC 5474 is particularly notable because it seems to be gravitationally interacting with M101. As a consequence of that interaction, the spiral pattern in M101 looks a bit asymmetric, while NGC 5474 looks like a fried egg where the yolk, or in this case something that looks like a bulge of stars, has shifted to one side. In an even bigger context, it looks like the M101 group is part of a nearby extragalactic filamentary structure that also includes two more groups of galaxies, the M51 group and the M63 group. In the early universe, this filament would have consisted of nothing but primordial hydrogen gas, but eventually, the filament would have broken up into a series of clumps that would go on to form M51, M63, and M101, as well as the smaller galaxies within each of these groups. Now, if you want to observe this galaxy yourself, it's actually rather straightforward to spot. Messier 101 lies to the north of the handle end of the Big Dipper and forms an approximate equilateral triangle with the two stars at the end of the handle, Eta and Zeta Ursa Majoris. The galaxy has a magnitude of about 7.9, which makes it a little too faint to see with naked eye, but actually makes it bright enough to see with binoculars or with a small telescope, although it will only look like a fuzzy disc-like thing. In a 20-centimeter or 8-inch telescope, it's possible to distinguish the small central bulge from the disk and begin to see structure within the disk, although a slightly bigger telescope is needed to distinguish the spiral structure of the object. Quite honestly, this is not a galaxy that I have seen through an amateur telescope, but one that I want to go find the next time I get the chance. the location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of Messier 101 in the sky is about 640 kilometers south of Seward, Alaska, in the Pacific Ocean. Given that the flag of Alaska features the constellation Ursa Major, it would have been cool if the location corresponding to Messier 101 was closer to Alaska, but that did not happen. Oh well. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com, which you can visit to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.